1 o'clock hour live in St. Joe, day number one of Chiefs training camp, when our coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Alex Gould, Cody Tapp up here at Mo West. Drew Nixon producing the show back in studio. We'll be back in studio tomorrow as the Royals do have a day game at Wrigley, a classic day game at Wrigley. So obviously it doesn't make sense to come up here tomorrow since we have a shorter show. So we'll be back Thursday and Friday. Hope to see you guys here when it's open to the public. Today was a seat holder day only. We had a great conversation with Trent McDuffie. You'll hear that again coming up in 35 minutes or so. We'll get to Trey Smith, who spoke after practice, in just a few minutes. But I mentioned the Royals and at Wrigley. Last night, of course, the offense was awesome to see.
Oh, that was
home
fun.
Run after home run. Salvador Perez had two of them.
He's on a heater, man.
He is as hot as any player in baseball right now. We went through the numbers yesterday since June 1. But how about just since July 1, the amount of home runs this guy has hit? And all of a sudden, he's got the third most home runs of any catcher in baseball. And the reason why he's third is probably because Cal Raleigh's having an unbelievable
record-setting year. He's only one home run behind two.
Yeah.
Look, Cal Raleigh's having a year, right? He's nowhere near that number, and I'm not trying to pretend like he is. But at the same time, every team in baseball wished they had a hitter like Salvador Perez as a catcher.
Yeah.
Okay? That's it. Every single one of them wish they had a hitting catcher. But I thought, because the way the season was going, he was 35 years old. I kind of just thought maybe Father Time got him, Gold. I did, and I know we talked about him more yesterday, but the game yesterday was just more, that's what I think the Royals offense can be if everything is just, like, perfect. The problem is that, what is that, like the second time this year?
Yeah, it's one every 20. That's one every, like, 30 or 40 games.
Yeah, they've scored more runs in the last week than they scored the 25 games leading up to the All-Star break, which is part of the reason they're in the hole that they're in. Last night was fun. I don't want to take away from the fun.
Oh, Cags gets a home run.
Cags got an opposite field shot, all that other stuff.
And somebody sent me a ticket. They had a Vinny and a Cags home run last night.
Ooh, that's
well.
A good ticket. That's
and
a
that,
really
I believe
ticket.
That ticket was like $1,500. Yeah, it was Cags and Salvi. I'm sorry. Cags and Salvi, $15 to win $1,200.
Look, that's a hell of a ticket. Look, I told you. I know that, like, for the most part, you and I have been, I think, the most reasoned Royals fans the entire season. We told you not to panic when it was a week into the season. I know you're going to be like, oh, look at them now. Like, come on, stop it. It was definitely not over then. There was no reason to panic at that time. And you and I have both said that we don't think this team's going to make the playoffs. I will start feeling like the Magic's back if Salvi's just going to crush homers and Rich Hill wins games. Did you see? I assume you saw the same tweet I did, which was Rich Hill faced Jamie Moyer. Jamie Moyer faced Steve Carlton. Carlton pitched in the same game as Warren Spahn. Spahn faced Satchel Paige. Paige was a teammate of Bill Gatewood, who was born in 1881. So you don't even, like, Rich Hill is only four steps removed from some dude born in 1881 as far as pitching goes. And that guy's on the mound tonight. That would normally be a pretty troubling sign for a team, and is a troubling sign for the Royals.
It still is. I mean,
outside of those things. I kind of hope he just has some magic tonight.
Sure.
I'll be honest. I'm sure we'll talk about what he did tomorrow as we talk about. But it's a season high in run total last night. And I hope that they find some way to carry the momentum into this. But, yeah, I'm still not overly optimistic they're getting ready to go on a run. But Salvi, so the Salvi thing is interesting for two ways, which is now the $13 million seems like the easiest thing in the world to pick up. I don't know what that means for Freddie Freeman or how you work Carter Jensen as it relates to that, but, you know, Carter Jensen plays some outfield too. They just love to take catchers who are catchers and then stick them in a different position. So maybe they'll just do that again and then hope that the value outweighs the other. The other part is, and he has a note, like, do teams call on Salvi?
Oh, I'm sure. Once again, they did a couple years ago.
Like,
so
all
why,
I'm asking
why
is,
why wouldn't they now? Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think
wait,
the Royals
if you were the Royals, would you even?
No, because
he's 10 away from 300 home runs. He's close to George Brett's record. All that stuff. I get it.
Yeah, no, they're not trading him in season, nor should they. Yesterday we did talk about.
I wouldn't do it. I'm just asking.
Yesterday we talked about the player or the club option. I told you I don't think $13 million in the grand scheme of things is that much money anyway. So I would be all about picking that up still. Look, he's not going to continue to hit at this exact pace. That would be absolutely insane. The tricky part, though, Cody, is we've done this for multiple weeks now. Yeah, they'll have a game or two spurt where you're like, okay, here we go. And then it's a letdown. And we try to get built up again. And that's part of being a fan, and I understand it. It would take truly, like a 7-plus, 8-plus game winning streak for me to believe that this is a team that's about to get hot for the rest of the season. And that's honestly kind of what it would take. And right this second, they're dealing with a stretch other than, I think, Cleveland this weekend.
NL teams.
A bunch of NL teams. They just got done playing the Mets, Marlins. Now they're playing, obviously,
the
Cubs.
They got the Guardians this weekend.
Yeah, that's the one exception.
And so stick it to them with Flo Rida.
So teams that are, yeah, that's Saturday night. So that's the tricky part on top of it. Even if they won 7 or 8, how much ground are they making up? You know, the trade deadline is 9 days away. That's going to tell us a lot. I think you still are on the same avenue as me, which is
for me.
If they trade Lugo, I got no problem with it. They trade Carlos, I got no problem with that. Anything after that, or Lorenzen add him to the mix, that's the best. Those are the three, really. You know, like, those are the three. Nobody else really makes sense to trade if you're also trying to still compete in 2026. But
what's crazy is the stretch that's important actually comes right after the trade deadline.
Of course it does.
So then you're like, oh, no, you got to make a decision. Then starting August 1st, you take on the Toronto Blue Jays, a team who's currently first place in the AL or the AL East. Mm-hmm. Then you take on the Boston Red Sox, a team in the wild card hunt. The Twins, a team with a similar record as you. And then you face bad teams in the Nationals and the White Sox. Those first 2 weeks of August are probably going to determine everything for you, but you have to make a decision about who you are and where you are before you get to that point.
I mean, so this team is still three under 500.
I know.
I would love for them to win tonight and then get the sweep tomorrow, and then we're talking about a fun series against the Guardians. I would love that. I don't know if we're going to get it.
I just don't think there are a lot of good teams. I think that the Royals, three games under 500, are about as good as most of the teams.
I know. It's just, they're in the range that I've said over and over. They're going to be a team that's three under to three above 500. Three under 500, three above 500 the rest of the season.
They start getting above 500.
And they're three under right now. I feel like they're just, this is the range that they're going to live in, man, which means that they technically will not be out of it in August or even early September. But, you know, how they navigate and balance the deadline is going to be interesting. We've obviously.
And what the teams around them do.
They're not going to be uber aggressive, but also they think they still have a shot this year. So you're like, okay. You know, can you appease both? I don't know. You know, if you trade Lugo, I still don't know how you can. I want them to trade Lugo, but also I don't know if you trade Lugo how you can convince me you still think you're winning in 25. Because without Lugo, you're already without Reagans. How the hell is this rotation even able to hold up?
I think a serious question is, let's say you don't sell. You hold on to Lugo, and you just stand pat. You don't buy, you don't sell, you just stand pat. Are Minnesota, the Angels, the Guardians, the Rangers, or the Rays selling? That's the next question I have, because those are all the teams in and around your area. Like, I don't have to ask about Baltimore, the A's, or the White Sox. Mm-hmm. We're good there. But, like, are any of these other teams around you going to sell and give you an opportunity to jump them just by proxy?
Yeah.
Just by being in their wake? And, like, I'm going to guess one of them is.
The Twins are interesting. I thought there was a report.
Twins are going to sell.
I thought there was a report.
Buxton won't let go of his no-trade clause, though.
There was a report today that they're listening to offers on their rental players. So kind of what we just – same thing we talked with the Royals, right? Lugo is technically would be a rental for somebody else. So would Lorenzen. Now, Carlos has years. He wouldn't be a rental. But, yeah, John Heyman had the report from the New York Post on the Twins. That Willie Castro, Harrison Bader, Chris Paddock, you know, that they're interested. You know, they would take a lot for them to part ways with their all-star Joe Ryan or somebody. The same way it would take a lot for the Royals to part ways with Chris Bubich. You know, it's the same thing. They're both in the very similar category. All right, Trey Smith spoke after practice today. We all know he's got that new contract. Great story.
New money.
He kind of gave some background on goals that he's had in his life. I thought it was pretty cool talking about how we got to this point. This is what Trey Smith had to say after practice today.
Hey, Trey, congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Going back to that period of time when, you know, you got the franchise tag, signing it quickly, were you expecting to end up with the franchise tag? Was that something that, was there any surprise to that? And what kind of went into the decision to sign the tag as quickly as you did?
Yeah, you know, I was just going through the process, and obviously that's what ended up happening. Getting a tag is a tremendous sense of honor in a way that the organization has that much faith and confidence in your ability as a player. So for me, I looked at it really as a blessing at the time, and, you know, ultimately we got the deal done, and that's a great blessing again and something I had to go earn.
Leading up to the July 15th deadline, were you always confident you were going to sign a long-term deal as it got close to the deadline? Were there any doubts? What was that process like as July 15th approached?
Yeah, man, I got a veteran offensive lineman that trained me when I was a young kid named Artis Hicks, and I have a lot of long conversations and talks with him, and he just told me, man, at the end of the day, you can control the controllables. I can control my effort, my hard work, and that's all I can control at the end of the day. So obviously, you know, I'm a faith-driven person. I just trusted in God, and I just kept going to work.
In your position of sat out of mandatory minicamp, why was it important for you just to be there for that process?
I want to be with my team. You know, I love being here with the Kansas City Chiefs. I have a tremendous sense of honor and pride playing here. I really love my job. You know what I mean? Like, I miss Kansas City, and, you know, anytime I can come back and play a game I love, man, I'm not going to hesitate to do it.
Talk about your family, obviously, what you guys have been through and what you've been through, too, when you've got the contract signed. You can tell you're pretty happy about it. What did it all mean for you to, you know, go back to them and say, hey, I made it?
Yeah, man, my bad. I lost my mom when I was 15, and I made two promises to her, that I'll get my degree, play in the NFL. I didn't promise her I'd be the highest paid, but, you know, I made a promise, man, and my parents sacrificed so much for me to be here. So much. And to have that moment with them, it's special, bro. It's special. And it's something I won't take for granted, man. My bad.
I apologize. You're good. Trey, how's your conversation with your sister as well?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. Ashley was at work, so she missed the FaceTime call, but, you know, just super excited, man, and just talking to them, and, you know, just really happy, man. Just, you know, we went through a lot, and being able to, you know, sort of put an exclamation point on that, you know, there's still work to do, but it was just an amazing time to spend with both my dad and my sister, you know.
What's your message to you guys? Because, you know, so many people put so much stock in where people are drafted and things like that, in terms of just the fact that you come into the league, work your way into being the highest paid interior lineman.
Yeah, man. Every day, just come to work. Every day, 100 miles per hour, just whatever you do, man, I'd rather say whoa than go, you know? And that's just sort of the mentality you have to bring, you know, as a undrafted, even a low-ranking, low-drafted guy. Not necessarily the cards are stacked against you. When you step in the NFL, man, you step in that field, it's open competition. You know what I mean? You got to go earn that spot every single day. You know, I step on the field, I got to go earn my job every single day. And, you know, if you have that worker's mentality, you give 100%, you try to, you know, apply what your coaches are telling you in your game every single day and just become a better player, you know, it'll pay off. But at the end of the day, you have to put the work in. There are a lot of days that are going to be bad. Most of the days are going to be bad. But those good days, man, they're good and they're sweet, man. But you just got to put the work in.
When you were drafted, you slipped in the draft because of some medical issues, and then, you know, no one really knew if you'd be able to compete for a starting job right away, and you came out and won the starting job. Josh Simmons, somewhat similar. People had questions about whether he'd be ready, and now he's here with a chance to win the job as a rookie. What advice do you give him about competing for a starting spot as a rookie in his first camp?
Yeah, man, just go to work, man. You know, everything Coach Heck and Coach Matei, and we have Juan Castillo and Cam Irvin today helping us out as well. Just apply everything you can to your game. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, everything's not going to come at once. It's going to take time to develop those habits. St. Joe's is one of the hardest training camps in the NFL. It's going to be miserable every single day, and just get used to it, man. But at the end of the day, you just got to keep fighting. You got to keep punching. You got to keep swinging day after day after day and just keep stacking and keep building. And when the season comes around, you're ready. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I would give him the same advice I would give myself as a rookie. Just show to work every day and just give him your best.
How do you gauge his readiness? Maybe? I know it's going to be a long camp to potentially do that.
You know, I just got to do my role as a player. I let my coaches, you know, we have a great front office staff. They'll make those determinations at the end of the day. But, you know, I'm going to help Josh along the way. I'm going to help every young guy along the way. And, you know, that's part of a leadership position. You know, I pride myself, Creed prides themselves, Juwan, all the other guys in the room and offensive line room pride ourselves and bring the young guys along to play up to the standard of Andy Heck and Corey Matei and all the coaches.
What has jumped out to you about Kingsley this time around?
Yeah, I would say the same thing, man. Even last year, his tenacity. You know, Kingsley is a very talented player, strong player, violent. You know what I mean? I love Kings, and I think he does a great job. You know, he definitely is living up to the standard of what it means to play offensive line here with the Kansas City Chiefs, and really excited for his development as a player.
Trey, this is your first training camp since your rookie season that you're going to be here without Joe Tooney. What does his absence mean to you guys? And you mentioned stepping up as a leader, but is that something that you and Creed talked about, or how do you replace a guy like that?
Man, I miss him. That's the first thing. I miss Joe. But second part is, you know, obviously it's the presence that's missed, you know, not just the leadership on the field, but the things you guys don't see, you know, the times in the locker room, keeping morale high. And at the end of the day, it's sort of a natural thing, you know. father time sort of just phases it out a little bit. And, you know, obviously it's Creed, JT, and I just in an older situation. And it sort of sets on us just with our age to sort of be the leading presence in the room. And the beautiful thing about it is Joe Tooney was such a great leader that he gave us an example and a standard to set by. So for us, we know what it looks like to be great. And, you know, for us, it's just coming close to that.
So when the line goes out to dinner now, who picks up the tab? You, Creed, or do you put it on the rookie?
No, man, we don't do any rookie haze or anything like that, man. You know, I was a low draft pick, so I would never want to make a rookie paper, first round or not, anybody, you know. I don't like that. But, you know, we'll definitely foot that bill, you know what I mean?
The actual moment of when you got the call or the actual news that you were getting the deal that you wanted?
Yeah, it was a little hectic day. It's actually in my barbershop. Shout out to Juan Bonds, Purple Label. I was getting my hair cut, and I got the call. So just say I was in and out really fast.
All right, so that was Trey Smith. At the end, it's funny. Dewan, obviously, who was part of our Witizens event. He was helping us with the Bobby Witt Jr. haircuts and everything. He cuts Bobby's hair. He cuts Mahomes' hair.
Salvi's hair.
Clearly Trey Smith's hair. But that's imagine like your agent's like, hey, man, the deal, like, it's happening, man. And he's like,
gotta go, Dewan.
Gotta go
see
get that
later.
Contract for the largest deal in guard history. Look, Trey Smith, since he showed up in Kansas City, not only has he been...
He's been a perfect teammate, perfect pro.
Now has he been on the field, way outplaying the rookie deal, and now he's getting compensated, obviously, in a great, great way. But, yeah, I mean, whether we're talking about the horrific day in this city's history at the parade and how he comforted kids that were obviously terrified.
Like Berganzi's kid,
I believe that's right. Yeah. You know, kids that were terrified in that awful situation. And you heard him speak and got emotional, understandably so, about his parents and his mom and, like, the goals. I mean, how do you not get a little – like, someone texts in and is like, hey, thanks for the warning, guys, crying at work. Like, yeah, how do you not feel that one? Anybody – how do you
– I promised her I'd be in the NFL. I didn't say be the highest paid, but yeah. I told her I'd play.
How do you not feel that one if you're listening and hearing the emotion and how emotional he got talking about his parents and the sacrifices? And it's a hell of a story, man. It really is a hell of a story. And hopefully he's part of this team for a while. Obviously, with the deal, he is going to be part of this team for a while.
Yeah, really excited that he gets to continue to stay here. And obviously, yeah, again, an absolute pro in every sense of the word. Replacing Tooney is not going to be easy. I mean, to him at the end of the conversation, I mean, Kingsley Suamataia's got a big job this year. Not as big as last year's, though, right?
True.
Like,
true.
Still, replacing Tooney
guard
is, like,
is not – you're not on an island.
It's a tougher position – It's a bigger name and a better player he's replacing, but an easier position in which for you to show your replacement level quality faster. Because last year, when he was coming in and trying to be the starting left tackle for this team, it was bigger fish to fry. And look, I don't ever want them to play a guard or tackle ever again unless things get real bleak. Because, again, part of it was injury last year, but part of it was absolutely they could not trust Kingsley Suamataia. He was healthy.
Yeah,
and
hopefully
they could trust him to still play there.
I mean, based off of what we saw today, where Josh Simmons was getting first-team reps at left tackle, Juwan Taylor's on the pup, so Jalen Moore's at right tackle with the ones. Wanya Morris, of course, is a swing tackle. Knock on wood, assuming Taylor comes back, they're better positioned depth-wise, too.
Better than anybody in the league.
If somebody has to miss a game, too, they should be in pretty decent shape in terms of who they have experience-wise behind. But that was the number one story today in day one of camp. No question is that Josh Simmons out there with the number ones. But Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, you were joking about off air about like who's paying for everything. You heard the question there. He's like, yeah, we don't make the rookies get off easy. The rookies are not going to have to pay at the rookie dinner at the offensive line dinner. Sounds like Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor also can contribute to that too. I think he's making a nice.
I think
change.
So. Sad news in the music world. Breaking news according to NBC News: Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, wow.
The Black Sabbath lead singer, obviously, has died at the age of 76, according to
him. Dang.
He's one of the most famous heavy metal singers of all time.
Oh, absolutely. He also had he lived a tough life.
He lived a life for 76
years.
Yeah,
I mean, he was tough on himself, you know.
Some of that for sure.
I think his, a lot of people gave credit to his wife over the years.
Sharon,
you know, for... frankly, why he lived as long as he did. I mean, seriously, like, you guys remember, like, I mean, that was, that's somebody that was, I mean, basically saved his life as well. But obviously, sad news there. Ozzy Osbourne passing away at the age of 76. All right, up next, we will get to what's trending, and then you'll hear our conversation exclusively today here on 96.5 The Fan with Chiefs fourth-year corner now, Trent McDuffie. Of course, he potentially could be getting a new deal soon, or is it going to be down the road? We asked him about that. You want to hear his answer next.
What's trending?
What's trending? Well, number one is that we are live at training camp thanks to Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Story out of camp on day number one, Josh Simmons, first team reps, left tackle. Jalen Moore, first team reps, right tackle. Of course, Juwan Taylor is on the pup list. Christian Fulton also on the pup list. So what did that mean for the secondary as well? It meant that, as we expected, Jalen Watson was the number two corner today. Now, they're not in pads. It is very, very early to make any rash judgment off of what we're seeing. But it's a great sign that Josh Simmons, on day one of camp, is actually out there getting the reps that they said he was going to get. Remember, on draft night, it was all about would he even be ready for camp. He's ready for camp at least when the pads aren't on. The question will be, when pads are on, does he go back-to-back days getting full reps with no setbacks? But it's a great sign so far.
Next up on What's Trending, the Royals took game one in Chicago last night against the Cubs. Salvador Perez, a pair of home runs. John Rave hit a homer. Cags with an opposite field jack as well. Royals will get game two, 7:05 tonight, right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. It'll be Dick Mountain on the mound tonight.
Yes.
For the Kansas City Royals, making his, 13, 14? I don't remember how many teams it is.
Yeah,
now.
A bunch.
His appearance with his 14th or 15th or 27th different big league team. He'll go for the Royals tonight as they try to get game two tonight here on The Fan. As a reminder, 96.5 The Fan is both your home for the Royals and your home for the Chiefs.
It's your home for KC Sports,
where you
they
need
say,
to go
Cody.
Anywhere else, right? I mean, matter of fact, I'm kind of offended if you go anywhere else. I'm just going to make that clear now.
No
We're not
to.
Friends.
No need to.
If you go somewhere else.
Yes, 96.5 The Fan is your
the
home.
The Wasp and I aren't friends.
For KC Sports. The Wasp has been hovering all show long.
I'm getting that salt gun, dude. I'm just going to go to Target.
You're just going
to
take out the Wasp?
Thing. Yeah. He's trying to take me out.
Thing is flying around. Anyway, next up on What's Trending, the Bengals, the defensive end, Trey Hendrickson, will not be reporting to training camp today. No surprise there. There's also Terry McLaurin in D.C. trying to get a new deal with the Commanders. That is something to watch throughout the next couple of weeks. In addition to that, I just saw this come across. Jimmy Graham, who a lot of you probably already thought was retired from the NFL, but Jimmy Graham
is retired. I literally just saw a news story the other day of where he did he's running like an ultra marathon.
Dude, at one point in time, Jimmy Graham was in fantasy football world and stuff, like, dude, that was the guy you wanted. I mean, it was there was a stretch where he was big time. But Jimmy Graham, five-time Pro Bowl tight end, last played in 2023. He's just now retiring, but he hasn't played in 2 years.
Next up on What's Trending, speaking of future retirements, Matt Stafford will be extremely limited in the first week of camp for the Los Angeles Rams. That, according to Sean McVay, as he continues to deal with back issues. Their whole thing is Matt Stafford is still one of the best to do it when the man's not hurt. And his body's not holding up the way Tom Brady's held up into his mid-40s. So the question with the Rams is always, will Stafford stay healthy enough to do it? I think they baby him a lot. They're not a preseason team. They're happy to let Matt Stafford take as much time off as needed in order to keep him healthy. But back issues and quarterback, that always concerns me.
As someone that's looking towards the Rams, that's kind of my team other than the Eagles and the NFC. I don't like seeing this news. I have the Rams going to the NFC title game. We'll have our official predictions later this summer. But, don't like that. Lastly, we mentioned it in the last segment, but if you're just joining us, Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness, has passed away at the age of 76. Earlier today, we were joined by Chiefs corner Trent McDuffie exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. Every day at camp that we're here, we'll have a different player join us. It was nice to have Trent stop by. Of course, our player interviews throughout training camp here on 96.5 The Fan are brought to you by our friends over at Break Time, as well as Powell Exteriors KC. Your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjomo.com. We started our conversation talking with Trent about finally having a couple interceptions in the bag.
Yeah, like you said, got those two picks under my belt. Excited, but it definitely puts you in the mindset where you want to go get more. You know, once you have that first feeling, got the second one against Houston, and now coming into training camp, even during OTAs, it's all about going to get that ball, and that was something we really specified in something that the DB group is really focusing on this year.
We kind of look at it like, I think it's kind of difficult because from the outside, as fans, we view it as you're either the kind of corner who stays in someone's hip pocket and that's the way you do your business, or you're the guy who baits into making a mistake. Oh, please. Yep. Is it hard to kind of turn into, like, not turn into, but, like, is it hard to want to risk that and risk the completion in order to, like, you know, maybe try to tempt them a little bit more sometimes?
You know, I think definitely. You know, I think there's a yin and a yang to it. You know, someone who is going to strap that receiver all game versus someone who's going to get two or three picks a game, man. I think over this past summer, really, I've been really trying to just study different DBs and their timing of looking at the ball and when you are able to really bait the quarterback, you know, and setting this game up. Because like you said, I'm someone where, yeah, I'd rather have zero catches, zero targets, and five PBUs than three picks and three catches against me. Like, that's just my game. That's what I love to do. So, like I said, just finding that timing and also working with Patrick. I mean, I feel like Patrick's one of those guys where that ball is put in the perfect place every time, no matter how good I guard a receiver. So once I get a few picks under him, I understand, okay, this is how Patrick throws the ball. This is the time he throws the ball. I'm starting to get more confident, more comfortable, starting to turn my head around and playing a little bit more with the quarterback.
Full-on football mode now. I know we're in St. Joe, but how was the offseason? You go anywhere, you do something different, you try something new, any new hobby? What did you do?
You know, I always go back to California for 2 weeks. I have a youth football camp that I put on every year for my foundation, so that was really awesome. Spent some time with the family. I mean, train for these fast 4 weeks because knowing you come into this training camp, you know, you better be ready to go day one. You saw here some guys' legs were starting to get a little dead. So just getting that mindset again in that mode of football season is just what I love. And that's why I love coming to St. Joe's because it just allows you to prepare in just a football environment, you know, with no distractions. Like, we can just do football day in, day out, and it really sets you up for the end of the year when, you know, you're tired, your body's hurt, and you can think back like, I remember those 19 plays during that long drive drills. I remember practicing for two and a half hours when it's 90 degrees out. Like, this really makes me feel like it's football season again, so I get excited.
Who's the first guy in the group chat to be like, that heat, I can't take the heat? It's got to be one of the bigger guys, right? One of the linemen?
You know, I think it's just a collective mind state where you kind of just know it's coming. You know, like, you can complain all you want. You can say everything you want to say, but it's not going to stop the fact that we're going to be out here full pads, going through full practice. So most of the time, it's like right when you get out of practice, you're like, oh, damn, it's going to be a hot one. Like, here we go. And then it's like, all right, let's just lock in and get through it, because the less you think about it, the better off you are.
When you look at some of the – we want to ask you about, obviously, around the league now with the other corners. We've seen all the other top corners in the league now be paid. I guess, first off, have you guys had any conversations, or is your representation – currently talking with the Chiefs about a future extension?
I mean, when you look at all these other DBs who have gotten paid, Sauce, Stingley, it makes me happy every time. I have the biggest smile on my face because those guys deserve it. You know what I mean? Like, when you play this game, you work so hard, you pour so much of your time into this game, and when you see someone like them who go to work every day, you know, make plays on the field, do the right things, you have to be excited, you know, and it helps everybody out. Like I say, one guy getting paid helps all of the 32 teams and the guys at that position get paid. And when it comes to contract stuff, I feel like I have the best agent in the game, hands down. And I truly let him worry about the contract. Like, when I say I don't worry about anything contract-wise, he worries about the contract, and I am truly just on football. And that's the way I want it to be.
Do you communicate, though, with him? Is it something you would like to get done before this season, though?
You know, honestly, when it comes to contract stuff, like, it's not really on my mind, you know. He's obviously in contact with me all the time. He keeps me updated on things. And, you know, I love the Chiefs. I love the organization. And I love being a part of what it means to be a Chief. And down the road, whenever it happens, it happens. But right now, like I said, my focus is solely on how do we get back to another Super Bowl.
But from a football perspective, you see the guys, you mentioned them, Stingley and Sauce Gardner. You believe you're on that level, right? You are equally as good or better. Like, you got to think about that as a football mindset, right? That you're just as good as those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, really, I don't compare myself to anybody, you know. I'm one of the guys that can only worry about what 22 Trent McDuffie can do for the Chiefs. You know, they have their own game. Sauce has his own game. But for me, it's really about what can I do for this team? How can I affect this team? And at the end of the day, I want to win football games. Like, all the money, all that stuff will come, but my number one goal is let's go out there and win football games.
We're talking to Trent McDuffie here on 96.5 The Fan. Now, I'm sure the excitement in the locker room was pretty cool. Although when you do see guys on your own team here get paid recently, Carl Loftus, obviously, Trey Smith, Nick Bolton earlier in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I gave those guys – every time each one of them got paid, I texted them a big congratulations. But I'm one of those guys where I'm kind of bad on my phone. So when I saw them in person, the biggest hug, the biggest smile, and – those three guys right there are some of my favorite human beings on the team. Like, when I say just down to earth, guys who got your back, guys that do it right, like, when you think about a chief, when I think about a chief, those are the guys that I look at. Those are the guys that I bring up. So seeing them get what they deserve, I mean, I was ecstatic for them.
You're not a group chat guy? You said are you slow to get back to people?
Oh, yeah, I'm terrible. If anybody knows that has my number, yo, I text back maybe a week, two weeks later.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, I'm terrible because I am truly off my phone. As soon as I'm out of football, like, the phone's down. Like, I'll call my mom, I'll call my family, I'll call my girlfriend, and everybody else, I got to get to them whenever I can.
I got to say, I've heard rumor of George Karloftis's food at his house. The contract, I feel like the level's going to go up
a little bit,
you know? Have you been to his house for that? He says he flies in seafood and the whole thing.
The best food I had. We actually, during OTAs, we went to this Greek place over in Overland Park, and I swear, he walked in. He came, like, 5 minutes late. You know, we were wondering, like, what we should eat. And he sat down and went, boom, 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 boom. Like, 30 things off the menu. Like, boom, boom, boom. And I was like, this is all for you, George? Like, is this for the table? It's for you? He's like, nah, bro. Like, this is me. You get what you want. I was like, all right, big dog. Like, you got it.
We saw, Trent, after practice, you were doing a little side work and some of the young guys out there. Do you feel like, whether it's Noel Williams, do you feel like you're taking on that role even more? I know you did a little bit last year, too.
Yeah. But 100%. And I think going into year four, the comfortability with the playbook is a big thing for me. I feel like I can really simplify things, you know, because I'm one of those guys that overcomplicates the playbook. Like, I'm trying to learn what George is doing. I'm trying to learn what Nick's doing. Like, I didn't know the whole defense, so that when these young guys come in, even new guys, you know, like Christian Fulton come in trying to learn the defense, I can kind of simplify it for them to be like, okay, worry about these three things when you go on the field. And then as you progress, like, you'll learn more. But they're all doing a great job. I mean, they're all really smart. Noel Williams came in. Actually, his defensive backs coach from college was my coach in college.
Oh, wow,
so
okay.
We kind of come from the same tree, speak the same language. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do during this camp and throughout the season.
You'd mentioned winning multiple times, the Super Bowls and the stuff that you care the most about. What's the difference day one in camp this year versus last year? Last year you come in, you're back-to-back champs, hungry for a third. This year you're coming off the disappointing Super Bowl loss. How do you feel like the attitude or the tenor of the camp is even just a day in?
Yeah. I mean, Coach Reed really set the standard. We have our phrase for this, the theme of the year is max out, you know, and that means max out in the weight room, max out on the field, max out in everything. So just coming out here even day one and just pushing through that hot practice, you know, you're getting your legs back under you, you know, you be a little tired, a little out of breath, but really giving it 100% and being like, every play counts, every play matters, you know, like, we came off a loss, yeah, we got a little chip on our shoulder, but we just got to get back to work. And that's the beautiful thing about this team is we just get back to work.
Is there part of you that likes some of the noise that's out there? Because I think it's pretty evident. I know you're not on social media very often, but it's still pretty – you guys know what's going on. And you hear and see people saw you guys in the Super Bowl, and a lot of people are like, all right, well, it's over. This is kind of – is that – you kind of like that?
You know, since I've been drafted to the Chiefs, I feel like there's always been buzz about us. So, for one thing, I'm used to it. Another thing – I mean, let them talk. You know what I say? That's what I love. Let everybody else talk, and we just go in, do our business, and prove them wrong.
I mean, when you look back, because we mentioned the year four stuff and wanting to be here long term and the contract and stuff. When you look back, how fortunate, you know, this sounds silly, but how fortunate do you feel that you ended up here? Like, Andy Reid, this system, and with a team with this kind of standard.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, especially on draft night, thinking, where am I going to go? You know, you're sitting there, you have no idea, and Kansas City comes up. And over the years, just knowing what this team's been about, knowing who's been in the room, Hall of Famers like Patrick, like Trav, like Chris Jones, seeing a Hall of Fame coach, and just their work ethic and how they approach life has been the biggest thing for me. Like, it has allowed me to grow so much off of the field that I'm more grateful for than even just being a football player, you know, just how to deal with people in the community, how to deal with, shoot, even your own family when it comes to important things. Like, seeing how these guys do their day-to-day stuff has been the biggest thing that I've taken away, and I'm really thankful for.
Chiefs corner, Trent McDuffie, joining us here at 96.5 The Fan. Appreciate it, man. Good to talk to you, as always. So that was Trent McDuffie with us a little bit earlier on today. Of course, our training camp interview is brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, cushion, custom decks, roofing in the Kansas City Metro. Of course, our training camp interview is also brought to you by St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today at stjoemo.com. So a couple things from that. Number one, of course, the contract stuff. Everybody knows that that was going to be part of the conversation.
Yep.
And he doesn't seem publicly too worried about it. Doesn't seem like it's something he needs to have happen
now. Rush.
Yeah. Look, he knows he's about to get paid, whether it's in 4 weeks or 8 months.
He's going to wait out Patrick Sertan's deal?
I don't know. He's going to eventually get a long-term deal in Kansas City. I will be shocked if he does. I really would. I just there's too many things that make sense. And I know people will always cite – they let Ward go. They let Snead go. They've let guys go in the past. He's just a completely different category of football player. And I think they recognize that. I view him as the guy that's on the poster 5-plus years from now, the pillar you walk into Arrowhead and the concrete, you know, where the fans walk in.
Yeah, after, I agree.
You know what I'm talking about.
He's on the,
he's
yeah,
right
they always
there.
Got like the four posters.
Yeah, he's there.
This guy
he's already there, I think. But he's going to be there in the
he's
pillar.
He's
going to
stay
right?
there.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree on that. And look, at this point, he's one of the – I mean, you can make an argument he's the second-best player on the team, but he's obviously one of the five best players on the team. And so, yeah, I want him to get a contract, but he's not in a rush. And the Chiefs don't have to be in a rush either and force the hand. You know, you heard there was an article today about Trey Smith, and Matt Verderam had put out an article. It was talking about, like, how they offered him a pretty fair deal last year, and they decided to bet on themselves. Trent McDuffie, there's no betting on himself. Everyone knows he's one of the best corners. And they have 2 years of control with him. So if he just wants to wait and see if his number goes up 100,000, 500,000, a million, he can wait. He doesn't have to make this deal done now, but also, like,
you want
some
the security still, right?
Yeah,
now, knock on wood, you know, he hasn't had problems with staying healthy, but that's always something
it's
you have
the
to
NFL,
be cognizant of.
Crazy things
just
happen.
Takes one time, right?
Look at the playoff. Look at, like, I mean, last year we talk about who was the wide receiver who was just doing work against Kansas City and devastated injury.
Oh, Tech Dell.
Yeah.
That's about as bad as it
yeah,
gets.
But I mean,
injury,
but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, anything, it's football.
For
like,
sure.
Crazy
for
things
sure.
happen sometimes, and I get that. But he just, yeah, he just doesn't seem like he's in a rush.
Yeah. One of our favorite players to talk to every year at camp. It's the fourth straight
easily.
Year we've had him. Yeah, just one of the good guys on the team for sure, and one of those guys in the locker room after a loss or after a win is always willing to talk. Not every player is willing to do that. So we appreciate Trent McDuffie coming on the show. On Thursday, we'll have a different player join us, as each and every day at camp, we will have a one-on-one conversation exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan.
Do you think we'll get any of our newly christened Camp Darlings?
Maybe.
Camp Island, if you missed earlier in the day, we've decided to get on board with all of your camp crushes and instead make them compete.
Mm-hmm.
One versus all. 9 contestants enter Camp Island. Only one will be declared the winner. Our guy Josh Klingerly said we could call it the annual – we could call it the Justin Ross Award.
Yeah, you guys know last year if you texted in Justin Ross, you had to donate to the show fund. So we wanted to have some fun with this. We each drafted 3 players. Starting Thursday, one is getting kicked off the Camp Island.
Everyone gets kicked up one for each show until we declare the official Camp Crush of the Year. Mine are Burchard Smith, Jared Wiley, and Elijah Mitchell. Drew, you got Tyquan Thornton, Jake Brenningstuhl, and Omar Norman Lott.
All right.
And Gold, you got Jalen Royals, Noel Williams, and Jaquarius Spivey.
I picked him just for the name, man.
That's a great name for a camp. He might get eliminated early, but if he survives, the name alone might keep him alive.
I'm worried Thursday you guys are going to want to kick him off Camp Island. I'm just saying I need one catch tomorrow or something. It needs, and the name will make him go viral. That's all I need. That's all I need.
Look at the one-handed grab from Jaquarius Spivey.
It's the battle of the tight ends. Each of us
it's
have
an
one
unbelievable
tight end.
Name.
We'll take your suggestions until Thursday, but this will work just like any other Love Island-type show in the sense that there'll be things that can give you immunity for the day, things that immediately put you in the hot seat with a chance to get eliminated that day. For instance, you miss 2 days of practice, you're immediately in the bottom, and one of the 3-2 people who have a chance to be eliminated out of the category. So we'll take your suggestions. But again,
I think
I
have a suggestion?
One-handed touchdown grab
Let me hear it,
is
Drew.
Immunity.
Let me hear it.
If you're posted on the Chiefs social media, period, if you're on social media, you automatically get to...
Safe the next day?
Yes.
So you're safe the next day.
You are safe. If you get
okay,
on,
so
if you
you're
on Wednesday, if Spivey gets posted, you're safe.
So if there's there's any photo or video of any of these,
that's good.
Then automatically they can't get eliminated
Correct.
That next day? I love
Correct.
It. Okay, perfect.
Great start.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, nobody's safe today because we're not back till Thursday. But who would have been safe today? Xavier Worthy, Patrick Mahomes?
Yep.
We're posted so mm-hmm. far. And posted as in they mention you by name. Not like you're jogging onto the practice field day one. Oh, we're back. Like, they show you making a catch. Today, it was Worthy. But if that was
he's not eligible anyway.
But if that was Spivey, Spivey's safe.
Right.
We all agree that you know a camp, you know somebody on Camp Island without knowing it. We all knew that Worthy had graduated. Yeah. He's a first round pick. Get out of here. That doesn't count.
Yeah, he didn't qualify for Camp Darling.
You took a third rounder. I took a seventh rounder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Drew took
I took an undrafted player, okay?
So did he, Jake Brenningstuhl.
Brenningstuhl's another one, yes.
I took a fourth rounder from last
year. So we'll have some fun with this. People on the text line are asking about our weather report from earlier today as well. Cloudy is. Cloudy with a chance.
He'll be back tomorrow.
I can confirm that it's none of the three of us. That's all I'll say.
Correct.
It's none of us. Cloudy with a chance, so we'll be back. Not tomorrow. Thursday.
Thursday.
Sorry,
Thursday.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Thursday.
Tomorrow we'll be back on the show.
Cloudy with a chance took a couple shots today, so I'm not sure what's going to happen on Thursday.
We'll have to find him out if he keeps making jokes, what seem like mocking us, Drew. Mocking us.
I promise I didn't pass Cloudy anything. I promise.
Okay.
All right, real quick. Prediction for tonight. We got 30 seconds or so left. Rich Hill, nicknamed Dick Mountain, on the mound tonight. He's 45 years old. Royals Cubs. Does he make it to the fifth inning?
Four innings, five Ks, two runs allowed.
No, yeah, I'm going to go three. I'm going to go three and two.
He does not get five.
Three and two thirds, four runs given up, and they pull him.
Okay. He gets two strikeouts total. He goes four innings, two strikes.
That's going to do it from day one. Day one of training camp here in St. Joe. We're back at it on Thursday as the Royals have a day game tomorrow. So we will talk to you tomorrow, though, starting at 10 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan.